morning from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 31 to 40. Listen for the word of the Lord. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to King Saul, regarding Goliath, by the way, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came, I took the lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will certainly save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk in these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi, and he put them in his shepherd's bag in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Choir, you're invited to join the choir at 6:30 on Wednesday night. I'm going to continue where I left off with Samuel chapter 17, verse 41 to 49. Listen for the word of the Lord. "Then the Philistine Goliath came on and drew near David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth and ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field.' But David said to the Philistine, 'You come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. On this very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all of the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. And so that all this assembly might know that the Lord does not save by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.' Well, when Goliath drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, he took out a stone and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask for eyes to see and ears to hear, your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. So if the superheroes of the Bible have taught us anything, it is that God can work through us, all of us, just as we are. In the midst of our beauty, our brokenness, and even our perceived limitations, God can work through us. This is certainly true in the life of David. In a world that favored conquering kings and gilded warriors and elder brothers, David was a nobody. He wasn't a Kennedy. He wasn't a Manning. He wasn't an Eastwood. He wasn't a Kardashian. He was from a no-name family and a no-name tribe. And to make matters worse, he was the youngest of eight brothers, which means while his brothers were out conquering on battlefields and winning the hearts of women everywhere, David was tending the sheep. And nobody loved shepherds in those days. When we meet David in this story, he's serving as a pizza delivery boy on the front lines of the battlefield. He's delivering bread and cheese to his brothers and to the troops. And as he is out and about, he meets his nemesis, Goliath. Because Goliath is the head of the Philistine army, and they are fighting God's people, the Israelites. And while David is delivering, he watches as Goliath, twice a day, morning and night, 40 days in a row, marches to the front of the battlefield. And Goliath taunts God's people, and he bullies them. And every time he says, "Let's end this right now. You bring someone to fight me. If I win, we will become your slaves. But if you win, if I win, you will become our slaves. But if you win, we will become your slaves." An interesting deal, except for the fact that it's Goliath, right? Goliath, the Bible tells us, was 6'9", which would have been huge in those days. He had all of the latest technology in armor and weaponry. And he was a trained Philistine mercenary soldier, which means that this guy was basically like the biblical equivalent of Rambo. He was a killing machine. But eventually, David gets tired of Goliath. He is done with all of the bullying. And so one day, David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he dares to defy the armies of the living God?" And David's brothers, and this is in the Bible, they're like, "David, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be back with the sheep? This is embarrassing." And David said, "I was just asking a question." And then he says, "I'll go, I'll do it." And everyone's like, "What?" And he says, "Tell King Saul I'll fight Goliath." Well, when they realized he was serious, can you imagine the looks on people's faces? The silence, the snickers, the eyes as big as grapefruits. And David said, "I got this. Me and God, we got this. We are God's people, are we not? Go tell King Saul I will fight Goliath." And so they tell the king, and the king brings in David for a sanity interview because he's got to figure out, what is the deal with this teenager? And David replies, right, "The Lord who saved me, the Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will certainly save me from the hand of this Philistine." And so King Saul decides you can't argue with a teenager who's calling on the name of the Lord. Plus, in 40 days, no one else has applied for the job. So he says, "The Lord be with you, but take my armor." And David says, "No, I will not." Those of you who have heard me share this story know that I believe that the biggest win of that day wasn't when David beat Goliath. It was when David stayed true to himself and refused to put on the king's armor. This king had fallen out of favor with God. That's probably an important thing to note in this story. But the truth is, David, in that moment, agreed to be himself, to be the shepherd boy, the person that God had made him to be, and trusted that God was going to work through him just as he was. And so we're told that King Saul starts to put the armor on David. He gets the bronze helmet, he gets the chainmail, he gets the king's sword, and that David tries them on, and it's unwieldy. And he says, right in the Bible, "I cannot wear these. I am not used to them. This is not who I am," said David. "I'm not a king. I'm a child of God. I need to enter this fight as myself, as the person God created me to be. And so I think had David entered that battle with all of that clunky armor, I think there would have been two losses that day. Number one, God's people would have lost to the Philistines. And number two, David would have lost a battle with himself, a battle that we all know so well. Because being someone else is so tempting in this world. I don't know about you. I don't know if you're loving the person you are right now and your unique characteristics, or if you have days where you wish you were someone else or you were like someone else, right? We all have these moments where we think if we were just like that person that we admire in our life, if we were just more like that family on Facebook who have the beautifully filtered family photos that they're posting all the time, like that would be so much better than the true person God created us to be. And yet, what do we learn from David? We learn that David calls us to faithfully trust the God who desires to faithfully work through us, just as we are. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is working through you to bless the world. Already, Jesus has been doing that. And in the future, Jesus Christ will continue to work through you and bless the world just as you are. And in the midst of it, you're being sanctified, which is a fancy Presbyterian word for the ways that God forgives our sins and binds up our brokenness and calls us into new life. That's all happening. But at the end of the day, we are called to be the true selves that God created us to be. We are called to not put on the armor of the king, but let God work through us just as we are. We have some visual liturgy to share with you. And a visual liturgy, it's actually going to be a movie. And as you watch it, think about the person, your true self that God created you to be. And think about how God desires to bless the world through you. Because as it turns out, forget the giants. The bravest thing of all is to be the person that God created you to be.
To the artist, to those chasers of beauty, to the ones who cannot stop themselves, to the curious, to the inquisitive, to the artist, to those seekers of stories, pens poised on the edges of paper, to the messy ones, to those who go to birthday parties, fleck of paint still plastered through curly hair, to the hopeful, to the determined, to those few who look through lenses to capture moments, see glimpses of what could be. The seagull scavengers stealing what others leave behind to put the leftovers of humanity back together. To the artist, to the 3 a.m. rider scribbling words down on paper every night, 10,000 hours every night. To the singer with a sore throat, bloodied fingers of the guitarist, piano keys worn down to ivory bone. To those who are worn down to...
So forget about the giants. The bravest thing of them all is to simply be true to the people God has made us to be. Please join us in our final hymn.